This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello and welcome to the award-winning To Hull and Back podcast. I'm your host Nathaniel Witto and we are proudly sponsored by Kingfisher and Old Slaughtical Bar in Hull. And today we have an opposition preview with Tom from And He Takes That Chance podcast. So Tom, how are you this evening?
I'm not bad, mate. Nice to be back on again. same circumstances as the last two times I've been on, I think. But yeah, we'll delve into that, won't we, throughout this next few minutes.
We've recently just had our 1 year anniversary with Liam Senior, so to be a Hull fan is kind of a positive thing. But just talk to me a little bit about Neil Warnock keeping you up the last season, and then the managerial change you've made already this season.
Yeah, so I think Warnock coming in was a bit of a I don't know. I think a lot of Town fans kind of obviously wanted it. He was a legend at Huddersfield before last season, because he got us promoted into the now Championship. And I think there was always a bit of, oh, I wonder if Warnock could ever come back to Town kind of thing. And I think it was a very sensible appointment on a couple of fronts. I think if we'd have ended up getting relegated, it would have softened the blow a lot, because it would have... there'd have been a bit of fight there and it would have been under Warnock still. And, you know, I think a lot of Town fans were just happy to see Warnock back, because before he came in, I think a lot of people were resigned to us going down, to be honest. I think I remember when we played you that away game, and Fotheringham was still in charge, but I remember us both saying it was an important game for both of us at that point. I think you just about got out of it. You were about to get out of it, and I remember us both saying, like, oh, if Town win this, oh, we might be able to get a bit of momentum going. We ended up drawing, didn't we? But and Fotheringham gone. Warnock keeps us up, brilliant stuff. Celebration, everyone's kind of pinch of salt, chanting one more year, Warnock, and all that. And then we get that over the summer, and you're kind of thinking, brilliant, what a sensible thing, because it's quite a big transition happening at Huddersfield now. We've got new owners, Kevin Nagle, American, only really just come in over the summer. So, I mean, it takes a lot of time to kind of build things up, and bringing in players and stuff like that isn't always that easy. Apparently, there was a lot of I don't know, monetary things that weren't there this summer that kind of hindered us a bit in potentially signing players. So we'll see if that changes in January. But yeah, with Warnock, you've pretty much got the same team. So Warnock does, says a lot of things that maybe is a bit over the top, but saying he thinks this team is at least a playoff challenging team. And you think, yeah, fair enough. I mean, any you ask any Huddersfield Town fan at the start of this year, and everyone was happy to have a nice boring mid-table season, because it's somewhat silly. Like the stat is like in the last 20 seasons or something like that, we've had maybe I think it's three seasons where we've not either been involved in a relegation battle or a playoffs promotion thing. So it's been very stressful being Huddersfield Town fan at that time. So it would have just been nice to have a really boring season. And with Warnock, we'd have got that. We'd have had stability. We'd have had that. I think you might have flirted with a playoff, but it would have been mid-table, just a nice, safe season. And then obviously he is now gone.
Mm. So, I mean, I think the last time Warnock had a full season was probably with Cardiff when they got relegated from the Premier League in 2019. So do you think it would have been stable, or do you think that at this stage he's better coming in later in the season? Maybe you could get him again in March.
I think that's it. I think he's done with us now. You never know. He'll probably come back to someone else, won't he, later in March. But it's funny, isn't it? I mean, he goes out on that the press conference that announced he was leaving. He kind of goes out and says he was surprised. Him and Jepsen were hoping to be there all season, or at least to Christmas. I think the way things were going, I mean, you could see the team was half decent, like it was solid. But there was also bits there where he's hinted at it. They didn't bring in players over summer. So I don't think he would have lasted the whole season anyway, even if he was still here. I think maybe we'd have had him till Christmas, but I think we'd have had him till Christmas and he'd have kept us out of the bottom three. So it's an interesting one. I just think there's a Warnock factor about things, you know what I mean? He just knows the championship so well. And I kind of, the one thing in the back of my mind, and thankfully he didn't go to QPR, but when there was talk he was going to QPR, the first thing a lot of Huddersfield Town fans thought is there's just so much irony in that. Like, you get rid of a manager who is there to basically keep you in the league, then he's going to go to another team and possibly take that place. Do you know what I mean? From Huddersfield. So, yeah. I just hope he doesn't end up picking a job up in March in the Championship. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be in. You know, at this point, like, not to be too negative, but like, death is the only thing that's going to keep him from coming back to football, I think, at that point in the season. So Darren Moore, I think, was a bit harshly done at Sheffield Wednesday, because I know some people will say, oh, well, with that squad, you should be winning League One, but you can see so many times that it doesn't work out like that. So he got them promoted, and I think they made a mistake because they're rubbish this season. So is Darren Moore a good enough replacement for Warnock to sort of justify getting rid of him at that point of the season?
It's a huge question, this. One that has been debated throughout the fan base a lot. I'd say you split into kind of three camps, where it's the diehard Warnocks and it's like there's no life after Warnock. There's one that I think I'm probably in this one, where it's like I wasn't diehard Warnock, but I just wanted Warnock for the security. I'd have taken Darren Moore after Christmas. Do you know what I mean? That kind of thing. I'd have just loved us to build up kind of a decent amount of points before then. And then you have it in every kind of fan base, the people who just stick by whatever the club do. Do you know what I mean? Kind of thing. And this is everything I've heard from Sheffield Wednesday fans seems to be playing out at very quickly for Town. He's a lovely bloke. He comes across great, but some of his tactical decisions have been very questionable. The only thing that I think he's got in his defence here is that the squad that he's been playing with these few games he's been in charge is very depleted. A lot of injuries going, and there's just no depth there. So it's very difficult for him to be playing players that don't have that experience, championship experience, and kind of expecting a lot from him. But he's also, he's, some of his decisions are just, yeah, it's just interesting. He makes the right decisions, but he makes the right decisions when we're 3-0 down already. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
too late, a little too late.
But I think, regardless, I mean, unless it's getting absolutely terrible and we're bottom of the league by, you know what I mean, January, I think you've got to see it out with him, because these last three seasons we've just been chopping and changing too much, and it's never good for a football club, that is it. You need a bit of stability. You need to give him some time, get his own players in, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, quite right. I think it's probably a little bit comparable to what Birmingham have done, where sometimes you think, well, as you said, have Warnock till Christmas, make sure you're going to be staying up, and then you can hire a new manager and new things then. But it's weird to do it either at when they did rather than like January, maybe, when you've got possibility to sign some players, or in the summer, doing it when, I mean, Moore hasn't had the chance to buy his own players, has he really? No. So, and you think Birmingham, it hasn't really worked for them, because, I mean, we beat them easily. They're just, it's a bit of a risk. So, but you think stick with him. Yeah.
I think stick with him, but there are question marks around it in that sense. Like, if he was, because obviously he was available in the summer, I guess, I don't 100% know the time frame, if I'm being honest, but they must have offered it Warnock before obviously Moore became available. But do you know what I mean? If inside that football world, they must have known that Darren Moore wasn't gonna, and the new ownership came out saying they had to act quickly on getting Moore in, and that was one of the reasons Warnock left. But that was also like, did you really have to act quickly if he's been out of the job for a few months? You know what I mean? He's been sat there waiting, but there was some talk about it was it due to his contract at Wednesday anyway. But yeah, it just all seems a bit, yeah, it's going to be very interesting anyway, I'll tell you that. It might be depressing, but there's always going to be something to talk about with Huddersfield Town.
Yeah, well, tell me a little bit about your recent performances, because one win in five, but two big defeats to Cardiff and Leeds, who are in good form. But what's been the issue? Because Huddersfield, not in an awful position, a few points above the drop zone. But how have the performances been?
Well, injuries have been a massive issue. So we've had a lot of players out, and we'll touch on this later when we go through Town players, I'm sure. But it looks like hopefully a few of them will be back for this, which will be nice, because we're just playing a lot of lads who are in the B team who, I wouldn't say they're young. It's not like we're playing, you know, 17, 18-year-olds, but you're playing a lot of early 20-year-olds who probably haven't had enough championship football to be thrown in at places like Leeds and Birmingham away and things like that. Not that, do you know what I mean? St Andrews isn't the most intimidating thing, especially when they've got half the ground missing. But do you know, it is a lot to ask. But it's been a very mixed bag. So before the international break, I saw a lot of different kind of styles for me from Moore. I saw some really good stuff. So we played Ipswich at home and we used the width really well. We were attacking down the flanks and it was very direct, and I thought, this is good to see, using Sauber Thomas and Josh Caroma out wide and getting balls in the box. But then also he's been in charge of three games where we've conceded four goals. So the 4-0 away at Birmingham, 4-1 defeat away to Leeds, and the 4-0 home defeat to Cardiff. The Cardiff one's a bit of a freak one though. It's one of those where you have, but when you actually look at the stats of the game, Town had a similar amount of shots as Cardiff. And when you look at the Cardiff goals, it's one of those where everything just fell to them at the right time. Mm-hmm. But it's that kind of game management stuff that I was touching on earlier, where it's, you go 2-0 down, boof, you shore it up. it's just a little bit too late. This is what happened at Leeds. You 4-0 down at half time. He changes it completely. He changes it to the better, where I know Leeds probably went down to 75%, 50%, but Town were really hard to break down and Leeds didn't really have a sniff. And it's just the smart. He needs to be a bit quicker with his decisions. And sorry, I've been waffling so long. What were we on? We were on about how the performance has been. So it's been a very
vaguely something about how they've been playing football. Yeah,
the win was one. That one win was QPR, and we were very good for 20 minutes, and then we sat behind the ball for the rest of the game. So it's another example of the tactics are probably right, but they're just never coming at the right time, which is a really interesting thing to watch.
Yeah. I mean, at least you did get the win against QPR because they're down there at the bottom. But no one does it. I think psychologically it must be so brave to go for more goals when you're already winning in such an important game like that. But QPR are shocking.
But that's it. You go 2-0 up and we actually probably could have gone 3 or 4, and it was just it was a weird moment in the game where you just saw everything just back off a bit and you're just inviting it on.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club. Because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hmm. Yeah. We've conceded quite a few goals from set pieces this season as well, which is a bit worrying. Well,
you won't concede one on Saturday. We've not scored from a set piece this season.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. Well, it might be your first anyway.
We signed Scott Twine, who's allegedly the set piece specialist. Garbage. I mean, I think the thing is, once he hits the first few set pieces, then the pressure's on him because he scored free kicks at a higher rate than even Ward-Prowse. Yeah. And now he just can't score any because, you know, the confidence is gone. Yeah. But, so maybe if Huddersfield are rubbish at conceding, you know, corners and stuff, that maybe we can have a chance there. But, so Huddersfield is usually a bit of a bogey game for us. The last 6 times we've played Huddersfield, we haven't had a win. Oh, 7 times, including before we were even in the Premier League. And we've lost 5 of those, as you mentioned, the draw. The game against Huddersfield last season, the 1-0 draw, probably going to be similar this time. We've had a lot of 1-0 draws at home this year. That's the main thing we need to work on at home, is breaking these teams down. So how do you expect Huddersfield to play on Saturday? And who are the main good players in the Huddersfield team to look out for?
I'd like to think he's learnt from. Watford, and when he's changed it and gone a bit more defensive when he knows he needs to do it. And when you're away from home, I think you've got to be doing that anyway. When you're in Huddersfield's position, where we've got a few injuries, squad's a bit light. I'm going to say it'll be quite a defensive setup. Having said that, he hasn't done the press conference yet, but they put out a video today of them in training, and it looks like David Kasumu was training with the squad again, as was Danny Ward. Danny Ward probably, I'm going to say Danny Ward won't start, but he might be on the bench. Sauber Thomas has been brilliant these last few games, especially with these injuries in. He's really... Injuries in, and we had Hog out for I think he'd got God knows how many yellow cards, so he missed the last game. Sauber Thomas has stepped up massively for me. I think he's been brilliant, like showing professionalism and a bit of maturity in his game, which I think he'd lacked the last couple of seasons. And I think the one thing I'll give Darren Moore credit to him, I think he's doing something with Sauber Thomas that maybe other managers haven't done since Carlos. I mean, Carlos got the best out of him in the sense that he knew how to exploit that kind of how good his delivery is. But I feel like Darren Moore's taken his overall game just to be a bit more, I don't know, giving him a bit more, just a bit more fight about him. Kind of taking a bit of hog from a bit of hog into Sauber Thomas for me, just being a bit better. Lee Nichols will probably start in net. Then you probably have your back four of like Hellick, Lees and Pearson, I think, back three, and then probably be playing wing backs, which he seems to have played a few times this season. Jack, we're missing Jack Rudoni, who's been very good. That's been a very big miss for us. So you've got at the moment really in the middle, it's Hogg will be back at least. And then Ben Wiles, who we signed from Rotherham this summer. So it's sounding better than when we played Watford last week, because we had a number of B-team lads stepping in. So it's just already, thanks for making me talk through it, because it's making me feel a little bit better to know that we might have a few more of the first team as well.
Well, I've got bad news for you that Jaden Philogene missed a game at West Brom, but he's going to be back.
Yeah, I was hoping he'd miss this one as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I mean, he's been just incredible. I knew he was going to be a really good signing, but I thought that he'd be getting to these sort of levels towards the back end of this season. I knew he would be a really good player, but, you know, he was a bit profligate at Cardiff. But then so far, he's been just amazing and definitely our best player, at least in an attacking sense. Yeah. So, I mean, we've not tonked anyone at the KCOM or the MKM since we beat QPR last season. Will on the podcast has predicted us to win 3-0 since that game, and we've not yet done that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I really hope this could be either 1-1 or, you know, a lucky Huddersfield win, as tends to happen against Huddersfield. But I hope we can get some goals. Glad you mentioned how good Sauber Thomas has been, because every week I do a combined lineup. I'll just get it up on the screen. But for people listening in, it's 9 Hull City players. And then I've included Sauber Thomas because our wingers are sometimes injured, or Philogene's been the only good one. Twine and Traore aren't really wingers. And then Helic at the back. So he scored. Is he your top scorer with 4 goals? So
he is top scorer at the moment, centre back, top goal scorer, yeah.
Yeah, I think that just shows that you're better at set pieces than we are. But speaking of goal scorers, I said I was going to ask you about this. What's the situation with Jordan Rhodes? Because I know City, I think this, we have a similar situation. We loaned out Oscar Estupiñán, who was our top scorer last year. Rhodes tearing up at Blackpool. Should he come back in January?
It's a great question. So Jordan Rhodes, he absolutely loves League One, doesn't he? I think we know that now. He's gone back to Blackpool and he can't stop scoring.
Well, he used to love the Championship.
He did. But I just think if you want Jordan Rhodes to be successful, you build a squad around Jordan Rhodes. He needs that supply. He needs a lot of balls into the box. So it depends what Darren Moore wants to do, doesn't it? I don't think I've seen that in the last few games where I think Jordan Rhodes just comes into this game. And do you know what I mean? We're not creating loads of chances and missing them in and around the box where I'm thinking, oh God, if we'd have had Rhodes, we'd have won this. So maybe not, maybe. It's another thing where will Kevin Nagel, the new owner, will he back more and give him some funds? It's one of those. So I just want Rhodes back because he's so close to scoring 100 goals for Town. So I think it's 100. It sounds a lot, but I think it is 100, which is mad. So I just want him back for that, really. I just want him to reach 100 for Town, to be honest.
Unfortunately, he's had two stints at the club, and most of those came in the first stint about 10 years ago.
When he scored about 50 in a season. So it'll be interesting to see what Darren Moore does, because obviously he's managed him before when he was at Wednesday. So whether he'll be like, he could do something here. We'll see, won't we? I would always welcome him back, though, just for that.
Who will start up front on Saturday? Is it this Bertzog player? I might be making this up. Is it Harrett?
Bertzog has picked up an injury, and I talk about that video. He wasn't in the video, so I'm guessing he's going to be out for another couple of weeks, unfortunately, because he has been very good. So he's on loan from, probably getting this wrong, might be Mainz.
Sounds right.
Yeah, he's on loan from Mainz. He's I don't know if you ever remember, we had a player called Raji Van La Parra. Who was like a attacking winger. So he reminds me a bit of him. He's very direct. He likes to be skillful. I don't know why I'm talking about him, because he's not going to be there, unfortunately. But I think he's been a shining light in these last few games of just someone who looks like they want to score goals and have a bit of fun. We had Kyle Hudlin. I don't know how tall he is, like 7 foot or something, up front against Watford.
Over 200 centimetres, according to this.
I don't think he didn't create anything in I didn't think he was going to score a goal, but his hold up play was very good. There was a lot of times he got a long ball up to him, held it up, and laid it off really well. He's all right. He's an asset, and I always think if you're on the pitch, right, with 10 minutes to go and you see this 7 foot lad coming on up front and you're a defender, you're thinking, blimmin' heck, who's this? What's he going to do? That kind of thing. I think he can make a few defenders a bit worried when he comes on. And then we've had a young Harrett, who's from the academy, been playing up front. Who's also, he's technically a very good player. He's a goal scorer, but I think he might need someone else up there with him. And Darren Moore's mainly been playing with kind of one lad up front at the moment, which is better for Danny Ward. So hopefully Wardy is fit. But it probably will be Harrett or Hudlin, I think. Or he might surprise you and put Josh Caroma up there, because it looks like he might be back as well.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. So last thing to ask is, what's your prediction for this game? Because I think I'm scared to predict a City win, because our record against Huddersfield is just so poor.
It's funny, isn't it? I mean, I don't really ever think we're anyone's bogey team, but it is like, since, is it 2015 or 2016 or something, you haven't beaten us?
So. Yeah, it was the first game we had when we got relegated from the Premier League the second time, and it was August 2015.
So I mean, you are due a win, really. It's been a long time.
That's true every time, though.
Yeah. I think on my podcast, I said that we would lose this game 2-1. But I just think if he sets up to annoy, and we keep it tight for whatever, 60, 70 minutes. Because you lot, you've been getting really good crowds, haven't you, this season? Things are getting looking up for Hull. So, but if we keep it quiet, keep you lot quiet, you get you a bit aggy, you know what I mean? You never know. Maybe we can nick a 0-0 or a 1-1. Yeah. But I just think the quality that you've got in there, especially going forward, just worries me a bit. So I'll say a 2-1 to Hull.
Oh, wow. Fair enough. Ants commented in saying, joking, that would be 1-0 Huddersfield, but nah. And then comments again, now this is the year, 2-0 City. I mean, I really hope so. As I said, we have the opportunity to beat anyone easily at home because of the attacking options we have. They just don't though. I don't really know what it is, but under Rossini, we basically either only win away or only win at home. We very rarely are able to put a home win and away win back to back. We did that last week and then lost at West Brom. So we last home game, we beat Preston. We needed that because we hadn't won in five games. We'd had five, was it four draws and a loss or five draws and a loss? So I think hopefully, at the very least, I imagine Philogene could get a goal. So it could be 1-0, but I'm not that confident. I think we might just have enough. I don't have the confidence to predict anything more than one goal. So I'm going to say another 1-0 Philogene win, and if that's all it takes. But yeah, I imagine that setting up defensively against us like Plymouth did a few weeks ago, that is definitely the way to go against us, because if you play openly, we can beat you. That's what we like. That's what we do away from home. So yeah, Tom, thank you very much for coming on. Do you want to just shout out what you do?
I'm on the podcast Andy Takes That Chance, the Huddersfield Town podcast, and my Twitter is at Thomas Bradshaw, I think it is. So yeah, check it out. I do some doodles, basically, if you do a bit of football stuff as well. So you never know, there might be a whole thing might pop up someday.
Cool. Well, I've got one little shout out and then we can end the episode. I had the pleasure of meeting Lisa Dawson, who is married to Hull City coach Andy Dawson as well. So that's the link. And I saw them at their office in at the stadium recently, and they're a great charity who help sort of underachieving primary school kids with their education, and they take them to Hull KR and to the stadium, and they measure the pitch and stuff like that. So definitely look into what they do. And I had the pleasure of meeting them. So I said, I'll shout you out on the podcast, which is what we like to do here. So thanks to everyone who's liked and commented. Looking very forward to the next episode. And then after that, we're going to be going to the Football Content Awards final in Liverpool. So wish us luck there. And that'll be a great opportunity. So thanks again. Thanks, Tom. And we'll see you again next week.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Open them up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.